Hi, everyone. I'm Brian Kilmeade. If you want something fun and easy to search for homes and apartments, then you should be using the Redfin app. Whether I'm searching for my next place, if I want to buy, if I want to rent, or if I just want to scroll through and see some dream homes, like, for example, something on the beach or at least a walk to the beach, a big house, second, maybe a third floor, I use the Redfin app. Redfin makes it fun to search all the homes for sale and apartments for rent in your neighborhood. You can filter for price, for beds, for bath, square footage, and so much more. So if you find a place you love, Redfin makes it easy to go see it in person. Just schedule a tour right from the app. Plus, if you're looking to sell, Redfin agents know how to get you the best price possible for your home. That's because they close twice as many deals as other agents. And with a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin's fees are half of what others often charge, which means you'll have more money to put towards your next home. So whether you're looking to buy, you're looking to rent, you're looking to sell, Redfin's got you covered. Download the Redfin app to get started.
This episode is brought to you by LifeLock. Between two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN, you try to be in control of how your info is protected. But many other places also have it, and they might not be as careful. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats. If your identity is stolen, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/podcast for 40% off. Terms apply.
Interesting situation with Untruth Social. The president put something up, kind of interesting. You know, it's his favorite website. It's his own. He says this: our great farmers and people in the hotel and leisure businesses have been stating that our aggressive policy on immigration is taking very good long-time workers away from them. With these jobs being almost impossible to replace, in many cases, the criminals are allowed into our country by Biden are applying for those jobs. This is not good. We must protect our farmers, but get the criminals out of the U.S. Does that show that the president's possibly pulling back a little? Let's ask Julian Epstein. Hey, Julian.
Brian, good morning.
So do you think that the president's indicating that he's changing, subtly changing policies, or is just a Truth Social post?
I think it could be a bit of both. I think the interesting thing on China, Brian, is that it looks like a good deal right now on the rare earths, which is a big part of the deal. But there's a long ways to go. China cheats 10 ways to Sundays on just 10 ways to Sunday on us. It's not just the rare earths. It's all kinds of tariffs and non-tariff barriers they have. It's all kinds of intellectual espionage. So, I think where he is on China is sort of, this is just the first step. And the 6-month pause is just a pause. I think there's a lot to be played out on it.
Right. I was going to get to that shortly. When you look at the overall economy, the numbers are good on jobs. The numbers are good on inflation. And it seems to be bothering people in the House, that Democrats in the House, that the numbers aren't looking worse. Here's our Secretary of Treasury yesterday trying to explain to people the state of our economy. Cut 29.
President Trump is breathing new life into the American economy. More than 500,000 private sector payroll jobs have been added since January. Most importantly, inflation in the U.S. is at its slowest pace since 2021. And the numbers we receive today take us back to the slowest pace since 2020. Most importantly, we are decelerating cost increases for shelter, food, and energy. After 4 years of price increases diminishing the U.S. standard of living, inflation is showing substantial improvement due to the administration's policies.
So they got constantly interrupted, told that the trade deals are bad, or the lack of trade deals are worrying. But so far, we have not seen in the numbers. Why is that?
Well, I think the media was doing backflips to say that the tariffs were going to crush the economy. I think they sort of really got out way in front of that story. And I think that the economic numbers, as you just pointed out, are pretty darn good. The one thing I think the Bessent missed there on the jobs numbers was that most of these jobs are private sector jobs. In the Biden administration, they claimed the $16 million jobs, half of them were government jobs or government adjacent jobs, and the rest were mostly rebound jobs. So I think the numbers I think the numbers look pretty good on the economy right now. I think if the trade deals get worked out, I think you're likely with a big, beautiful bill to see an economic boom over the summer. And I, you know, again, it's you and I've been talking about this before. Democrats don't really have an argument because they don't have an alternative plan. All they can be is sort of like Trump is bad, Trump is bad. So I think that leaves them in a place that continues to worsen for the party.
So when you would see Gavin Newsom take a 9-minute address, really taking on Trump with a national, you know, it had audio issues, but he came out and said, basically, I'm the anti-Trump. I am the National Guard made things worse. We could things handled. He wants this. He's creating this havoc in our country. Do you think that's a good political move for him?
I think he's trying to make it a good political move, but I think he's going to own this at the end of the day. Look, the National Guard went in after the situation had gone out of control. LAPD police chief admitted on Friday night that they had been overtaken. By Sunday, he was saying the violence and the rioting, the looting, the shooting projectiles at police officers, the throwing of bricks at ongoing cars, at cars that were on the 101. I think it was justified. I think the Newsom, is going to, and I think Bass are going to own this at the end of the day, the way they had to own the fires. And I think we've seen this fire, this play before, Brian. This is not going to end well for the Democrats. It looks like they are on the side of open borders and they are on the side of chaos and rioters. And we've seen this in 220. We saw this on college campuses. We've seen this with smash and grab. This does not end well for Democrats. And I don't think it's going to end well for Newsom. I don't think he was quite honest either. He said he hadn't spoken to the president. The president provided a screenshot of the conversation. And he said the situation was well under control and there was no need for a National Guard. And the LAPD police chief contradicted that. So I think he's trying to show he's the, you know, he's the lead dog in fighting Trump, but I think he's going to end up owning this and it's not going to look good for him.
Hi, everyone. I'm Brian Kilmeade. If you want something fun and easy to search for homes and apartments, then you should be using the Redfin app. Whether I'm searching for my next place, if I want to buy, if I want to rent, or if I just want to scroll through and see some dream homes, like, for example, something on the beach or at least a walk to the beach, a big house, second, maybe a third floor, I use the Redfin app. Redfin makes it fun to search all the homes for sale and apartments for rent in your neighborhood. You can filter for price, for beds, for baths, square footage, and so much more. So if you find a place you love, Redfin makes it easy to go see it in person. Just schedule a tour right from the app. Plus, if you're looking to sell, Redfin agents know how to get you the best price possible for your home. That's because they close twice as many deals as other agents. And with a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin's fees are half of what others often charge, which means you'll have more money to put towards your next home. So whether you're looking to buy, you're looking to rent, you're looking to sell, Redfin's got you covered. Download the Redfin app to get started. Real American Freestyle is the first ever unscripted pro wrestling league created by Hulk Hogan, Chad Bronstein, Israel Martinez, and Eric Bischoff to give elite wrestlers a real shot at professional career. Real American Freestyle is where Olympians, world champions, and NCAA legends come to compete. Not in a cage, not in a script, but on the mat in front of fans around the world. This is real wrestling, reimagined for today. The first event kicks off August 30th in Cleveland, featuring matchups with some of the best wrestlers on the planet. You've never seen wrestling like this. Learn more at realamericanfreestyle.com. You know, I just think I got to give credit to New York. By the way, we're watching three Democratic governors try to justify sanctuary states and sanctuary cities. Governor Waltz, Governor Pritzker, and Governor Hochul. I'm not sure how it's going, but we'll bring stuff in if it begins to make news. But I'll tell you, Jessica Tisch has issued a stern warning against anti-ICE protesters. The same thing from the mayor. It shows you could be a Democrat, appointed by a Democrat, and you could say, hey, it's not going to work. The George Floyd riots, we wrecked the place and apologized later and used tax money to fix it, is not going to work. That encourages me.
I think some Democrats are starting to get this. I mean, all you have to do is look at the polls and realize that, you know, open borders and violent protests in the streets are bad politics. It doesn't take a genius to figure that out. So I think people are starting to see the handwriting on the wall on this and realize that Trump is going to win this debate. And a better place for the Democrats to be is to simply say what Fetterman said, which is, If you want to protest, that's fine. If you want to protest deportations, that's fine. The public's against you. But when you cross the line into violence, and you're going to find yourself in jail. And more importantly, what I think Pam Bondi is doing and ought to be doing is going after the head of the snake. All of these protests, the violence at least seems to be orchestrated. We can see it from the military gear and the masks and sort of all of the other indications of coordination. And I think the Justice Department's going to go after the head of the snake, the organizers, funders of this kind of thing. And I think once they peel the curtain back, it's going to be quite interesting to see who's actually behind a lot of this violence.
So I was pretty amazed to see the new head of the DNC, someone leaked out audio of making a phone call, Ken Martin, to David Hogg saying, everyone's giving you so much attention. He almost sounded like he was going to cry. No one's listening to me. Nobody knows who I am. Well, next thing you know, David Hogg yesterday says he will not run for the vice chair again after 75% of DNC members voted for the resolution to oust him. He had a media rant about party leaders being asleep at the switch, but the majority of DNC members voted against him. 25% voted against a new election. 75% voted for a new election, I should say, and 25% voted for David Hogg to stay in place. But now he's leaving. So how do you feel about that? Does that make the party stronger or weaker?
I don't think it changes a thing. I think he certainly made it weaker because it was a sideshow and a distraction, and I think he was digging down on the progressive woke bubble, which is not helpful for the party. You know, all this talk about young leaders, old leaders, new generation, all that, I don't think that matters a whit. What matters is the fact that the public does not like the direction of the Democratic Party, which has been captured and hijacked by the progressive left. They don't like any of the issues that the left stands for, other than, say, maybe abortion. That's the one area that the Democratic Party is competitive on. But it's the wrong debate for the party. The debate for the party is whether they go back to the Clinton years, where they were centrists, where they believed in law and order, where they believed in closed borders, where they believed in balancing the budget and small government, and whether they sort of go back to that regime when the Democrats were successful, or whether they stay with this sort of woke left cultural revolution, which is popular with probably 8% of voters, maybe 10% of voters. So, and unpopular with everyone else.
I want you to hear what Rahm Emanuel said. Now, he blew it to me because he had a chance to be Fetterman during a time of crisis in real time. But he came out and said this. Why did Democrats have a problem, he asked himself? Because we're punks. And we not only talk like punks, we talk down to people. We get caught up in a set of issues that aren't relevant. Think about this, about transgender in sports, education. We have the worst reading scores and math scores in 30 years. And we're arguing about bathrooms, locker rooms, not the classroom. He said, if you do identify, the other side gets to identify. And I'm going to break their news to the Democrats. The other side has more identity than you do. Just do the math. I mean, sounds like a rant to me. Is that an intentional rant or a guy that lost his temper?
Oh, you know, Rahm's a very smart guy, and I think he's reacting to a lot of what I've been reacting to, which is weak and woke. And I think the transgender issue is just one of many issues. And I think, you know, sure, the party has got to move back to the center on that issue, but it's got to move back to the center on a lot more than that. I mean, you can go down the list on sort of on immigration, on education, on crime. You just go down the list, and the party is out of step on just about every issue. So, yeah, it's a rant, but it's a well-educated rant, and it's a thoughtful rant. And but I don't see, with what happened in Los Angeles over the last couple of days, Brian, I don't see the party really shifting. I think it has to say no to the groups until it says no to the activist groups and the donors who all want to drive the party left under the theory that they are the emancipators of the oppressed, right? Like, most people, when you tell them they're living in a land of oppression, think you're nuts. You're crazy. That's what the Democrats do. Their animating idea, Brian, is that there is oppressors and they're and oppressed, and they are the liberators of the oppressed. That is the animating idea of what they do on gender, on race, on just about every issue. And until they shed themselves of that ideology, which is driven by the groups, they will not be a competitive party. We're seeing that play out in real time right now in Los Angeles. And that's the fundamental problem. And until we have a real sister soldier moment, not just on transgender issues, but on sort of all of the issues on down the line of everything we've spoken about in the last year or so, I don't think the party's going to be competitive.
Yeah, ironically, Bill Clinton, speaking of sister soldiers, spoke out against Trump yesterday. So he's even changed, too. Thanks so much. Appreciate it, Julian.
Thanks, Brian.
As America prepares for its 249th birthday on July 4th, Fox News Podcast celebrates great Americans, highlighting well-known and everyday folks who've made their mark on the country in their own special way. Listen and follow now at foxnewspodcasts.com. Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.